the message is to our church tonight, and it ought to apply to all you visitors too, wherever your church is. And if you don't have one, you ought to get in one. And it's going to be something that we need to do. We know the Lord's coming soon. We know that our time's running out. We know that our church, we've been through the fire. We've been through the testings. We've been through troubles and burdens. I was thinking this morning that some of the things, it's funny when you look back on it, but boy, when you're going through it, it ain't funny. The times we've been on the news and in the newspaper and the things that have been said, I'll never forget that day I come home from church. Somebody brought me a copy of the Charlotte Observer, and it had a big article about us, and saying all kinds of, that was back when all that, you know, stuff was going on, was on TV and everything a few years ago. And all the things that's been said, and the lies that's been told, and the stuff like that. And you know, when God lets you go through things like that, He's getting you ready for something. And I believe it's about time that maybe we as a church just maybe rolled up our sleeve and balled up our fists a little bit, and maybe regrouped and kind of begin another plan of attack. And I've been telling you lately that the Lord's been laying on my heart, and we've been talking to Brother Bruce. We've met, we've prayed about this. I believe the church, I believe in pastoral leadership. I don't ever preach it that much here, but I believe in it. I believe the Bible teaches it. And I'm sure that if the pastor's in the Word of God, the church's job is to follow him. He's doing what's right, and it's scriptural. The church's job is to follow him. I went out to Zion Hill the other night and heard Jimmy Robbins. I took Laurie out there. She had never heard him. We went out there to hear him, and boy, we got a blessing. He was preaching on that, and you know, he'd get on that pretty hard. And boy, he's talking about his pastor. His former pastor, Brother Wade Huntley, was in the service that night. And Brother Wade used to be Jimmy's pastor many years ago, probably 30 years ago. He's been at the pastor that church he's at now nearly 30 years. And boy, he said, I obey my pastor. He said, my pastor to this day, he's sitting back there. He still tells me to do something. I do what my pastor, you know, and boy, he was a preaching it. He said, I had him down for revival not long ago. He come down, he looked and seen it. He said, you got too many trees in this churchyard. Can't see a church for all these trees. He said, I like them trees. But he said, my pastor said, we have too many trees. And I called a deacon's meeting that weekend, and I said, bring your saws and your work clothes, and we cut them down. And I mean, that was his pastor 25 years ago, boy, I tell you. But I don't know about all that, but I'll tell you one thing. I believe the Bible teaches pastoral leadership, and the Bible teaches follow the leadership in the work of God. So if I'm right tonight, your job is to follow me. My job is not to be Lord over God's heritage or a dictator, boss. I don't even want to be. I got enough problems myself. I've been traveling off all this week and preached down yonder in Alabama, and then this week after this, I got to go to Maryland, and then I got to go to Louisville, Kentucky, and Amarillo, Texas, and everywhere between now and the next a couple of months. So I'm not on no kind of ego trip or nothing like that. But I do believe that the Lord has got us to the place, our church, we're recovered good from surgery, and we've got our strength back, and we're ready to do something that God wants us to do. I've always believed that I want to be a part of a church that was busy doing something for God. The desire of my heart has never changed. I tell you what, brother, I've been knocked down. I've been hindered. I've been slowed up. I've had my nose in the grit. I've had my nose in the mud hole. But I'll tell you, there never has, from the time I started preaching till this day, left a never-ending beaten burden inside my soul to be a part of a thriving, witnessing, soul-winning, fired-up church. I've always wanted to, and by the grace of God, I'm going to be a part of that. If it ain't here, it'd be somewhere. I want to be a part of what God is doing in a church that's busy doing something for God. No church stays on the mountaintop that don't stay busy. It'll die. Mark it down. It'll die if we don't stay busy for God. People say, boy, I remember that church used to. They had the glory. And now it's dead in 4 o'clock. You know what happened? They quit doing what they were doing when the glory was in there. They quit praying. They quit knocking on doors. They quit fussing. They quit living for God. And brother, you quit doing the things that put you there and you ain't there no more. Well, I want to show you some things right quick to begin with. Don't have a time tonight. I could make one up right quick called It's Time to Get With It or something like that. But I want to show you a couple things in the newspaper. And I hardly ever read the newspaper. Since I spent some time on the airplane this week, I did. Normally I don't. This one that came out Wednesday. They have a cartoon drawing. I reckon that's supposed to be Ross Perot right there. Looks like him. And that's him there. And right beside it, see this big black article here? It says, Jesus will come in the Feast of Trumpet, October 28, 1992. And it said, how can we prepare? Make sure the grace of the blood of the cross. Repent. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Purify. Sanctify yourselves. The Bible, pray continually. Give up your fleshly life. Love only Jesus with your whole heart. Do not receive the mark 666 barcode on the forehead or right hand. The leading newspaper in America. Isn't that wild? You say, oh, Brother Danny, they're a bunch of nuts, ain't they? Yeah, for putting the day on there, they are a bunch of nuts. But it seems strange to me. That, I mean, it's just, I don't know. So all that stuff I was talking about this morning seemed like it's all fitting together to me. We're 7 years away from that new millennium. The very next 2 days later, this is Friday's USA Today. That came out, I believe it was Friday. And right on the front page, what is it? The presidential election? Nah. What's the biggest news in the country? We're getting ready to make contact with UFO creatures tomorrow. Tomorrow is the 500th anniversary of Columbus, discovery of America and all that. And they're saying this. The top story is the Braves are up 2-0. That's the biggest news in America. But running a close second is hello out there. I just had a wonderful thought. Wouldn't it be good if one of those E.T. UFO creatures come down here and got Jane Fonda and took her to another planet? That's awful. I ruined a good sermon thinking thoughts like that. They had this hype fish, hype man type thing here. And they said, hello out there. NASA turned skyward in search for sign life. 30 years ago, they had a light at them for that. Now, the top scientists in America, see them two right there? We share one goal, find E.T. They're actually inviting somebody from outer space to talk to us. They say one time they got a message. It was in 1977. There's never been another before or since. Something hit the satellite. They said it wasn't waves, it wasn't aircraft, it was some kind of language from outer space. They, no doubt, will find it again. Majority of scientists today believe it's likely that ET life exists. You know what I was thinking? I was thinking the majority of scientists today believe on their own that there is life out on other planets. And do not believe that the Bible is true. That takes a lot more faith to believe that than it does to believe the Bible is true. Now the truth is God made all them planets for something. But there ain't people living out there. He's only one of them's inhabited right now. That's Earth. This is it. He let his son die for this planet. And God has all those planets out there for something He's going to do in the future. Don't ever second guess the Lord. This is Time Magazine. This month or 2 weeks. Beyond the year 2000. And it's absolutely filled with articles of what life is going to be like in the new millennium. They're saying we're going to build a new world. they're dawning a new age. We're having, and they're going to party like it's 1999. I believe tonight with all of my heart, I may be wrong, but I never felt this urgency in my soul since I've been preaching that we are at the threshold of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's coming, folks. The Lord is coming, and God has let you and I be the generation that has lived to stand on the threshold of that time. Hallelujah. Hey, there's some great men of God in days gone by. There was D.L. Moody and Spurgeon and Finney and Whitfield and great men like that that we can name on and on and on. I don't know why God chose a bunch of people like us right here to be here this day and time, but He did. God let us be here at the last day so we could see the last time come in. And I don't know when the Lord's coming. I mean, I'm not setting dates or anything like that. But I know one thing, His coming is near. Now, as we begin to get ready for the coming of the Lord, I believe it would please God if our church was working like a bunch of bees. Me and Brother Bruce and I have prayed and talked. We've come up a plan that we believe that God is in, and we believe that the Lord will touch us as a church. Hey, just like the Lord laid on my heart to have revival next week or week after or something like that. Call a man in to preach. It's just like that. We believe that God has given us a fresh vision for what He wants us to do in this community. And we believe that here's the plan that I'm going to give you tonight. You know, somebody said one time, there's no telling what could be accomplished if, as long as it don't matter, who gets the credit. That's the truth. It matters not who gets the credit. There's no telling what a lot of people could accomplish. You say, oh no, it's going to be another one of them sermons on soul winning or something like that, or business or something like that, preacher. Well, let me tell you something, friend. You'll be mad at me one day at the judgment. One of these days at judgment, you're going to be mad at me for not preaching more and harder on getting somebody saved when your loved ones are falling off into hell and our neighbors are having our blood dripping off our hands. Will said, Brother Danny, why didn't you grab me? Why didn't you shake me and cause me to get a burden for lost souls? What I'm going to do tonight is say, as good as God's been to us, the least we could do is touch this community for the glory of God. Let me turn your Bibles to several scriptures tonight. First of all, look at the book of Luke, chapter 12. The book of Luke, chapter 12. My, this is one of them verses. This is one of them verses I'd enjoy hearing Brother John comment on in Sunday school. This is one of them verses that just seem to elude you. And you, it's one of them verses you hope it don't really mean what it says. It's one of them verses that it's always been a mystery. But look at Luke, chapter number 12 and verse number 48. Luke chapter 12 and verse number 48. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. That's a weird verse. It said if a fellow didn't know what he's supposed to do, they'd just beat him with a few stripes. But if you know what you're supposed to do and didn't do it, they'd beat you with a lot of stripes. The DSS would be after the Lord nowadays for that. That is promoting beating and cruel corporal punishment. That's the Bible I just read you. Look at verse 48, the bottom half. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him will they will ask the more. My, what a verse. What a verse. Now you know what that verse is saying among a lot of other things? That verse is saying if God gives you a lot, you're going to answer for a lot. If God blessed you a lot, You know, and you know what that means? A church right here in North Carolina that's had Bible preaching all your lives. You've had Bibles laying in your house all your life. Bible training, Bible radio, Bible bookstores, Bible commentaries, Bible dictionaries. Preachers running out of our ears in this part of the country. There's going to be more required of us at Judgment Day than there would somebody that lived in a far off place where maybe just a piece of the book of John or a gospel tract and got saved by the grace of God. You better believe here, sitting here tonight, that God at judgment is going to require something of this church. Hey, a lot of you don't realize it. Somebody told me a long time ago, matter of fact, somebody told me the other day, they said, Brother Danny Tucker, he said, people just don't realize. He said, you get away from this part of the country for a while. Go up north where it's just dry and it's hard to find any preaching and nobody ever says amen and nobody ever gets saved. Go way out west somewhere. Go in California. When I got up in California and started preaching a few months ago when I was out there, some of them people looked at me, their eyes got that big around. They looked at me like, and when I started talking rough and saying some things, and they were just in shock. Act like they'd never seen nobody act like that. Here we have been blessed here in this part of the country. There's churches all over the southeast part of America. That preacher that's coming up here this week, preacher that's coming up here from tomorrow, you know what he's been? He said they first come to our youth rallies. They got a burden. They started singing songs. Now they're beginning a bus ministry. You know why? Because they came here and got a burden. He said, we want to pattern our church after your church. Everywhere I go, it's the same thing. They say, hey, they got something going on down there in Marion, North Carolina. God's blessed them people. Some of them watch their videos. They take them videos and sit there and have their loved ones over and watch videos and their friends safe in the living room. And brother, here we sat here tonight, sometimes soaking up the blessings of God, taking them for granted, not realizing how we ought to be thanking God Almighty in heaven for His Spirit and His blessing. It ain't like everywhere. It's not like that everywhere you go. I believe to whom much is given, much is going to be required. And I'm scared that we're going to be in trouble at the judgment day if we don't start doing more about what we know we ought to do. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you mamas and you daddies and you grandpas and you grandmas and you teenagers that's up here singing tonight. But we're going to give an account to God for what He's blessed us with here. Unto whom much is given, much shall be required. Here we have these facilities, that bookstore over there, the camp over yonder. We have over $1 million worth of buildings, brother. Not counting land property. I mean, ain't none of it paid for. But we're using it, so who cares? And I mean, brother, it's in use for the glory of God. I'm telling you, God's blessed us. God's been good to us. I ain't stupid, friends. I mean, sometimes I don't realize it, but I'm not stupid. I know it's not nothing that I've done. It's just the pure mercy and grace of God. Sometimes I walk in this place at night and I just think, oh God, is it really here? Is it really true? Oh God, did that young people really fill up that altar the other night at the youth rally? God, is it really your blessing? Oh God, just keep pouring out your blessings on us. God, just keep blessing us. Let's don't take for granted what God's done for us. Amen. You'll do that if you're not careful.
Right.
There's many a church that used to shout victory. I know churches near here tonight, their auditoriums the size of this right here, and have 25 people on Wednesday nights. Amen. I mean good churches. At one time, great churches. What's the difference? People get lazy. They get laid back. And they think, well, God's blessed us. He'll always bless us. Now, here's what I'm going to talk about doing. We have come up with a plan by the help of the Lord. I believe Brother Bruce got a hold of some plans from a fellow in Texas. We got an organized plan here tonight. Like an army. When you get this many people, you've got to have some organization. I believe you ought to do everything the Lord leads you. Amen? I mean, the Lord leads me to do some things during the middle of the week, but I still believe in organization. If there was no such thing in organization, you wouldn't have known to come here at 7 o'clock tonight. You wouldn't have known. Now, what if we'd have said, well, we don't believe in organizing it, trying to put God in a bottle like that. People just come to church whenever you feel led, when the Spirit hits you. Well, there'd be two or three here tomorrow, three or four Saturday. It wouldn't be long. There wouldn't be nothing going on here. You have to have, listen, you know what they did in the Bible? Peter and John went up to pray at the hour of prayer. They had time to meet. There's nothing wrong with organizing the work of God. We could not have Sunday school without some organization. Now, what we'll do here tonight, we're going to divide up in groups and organize and try to blitz McDowell County before the Lord comes back. And we're putting out a lot of stuff around the country and around the world, and videos and tapes and tracks and missionaries, but we're going to answer to God for people that live right here on our doorsteps and in this community also. So, here we go. Let's see if we're going to obey the Great Commission tonight. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 34. I'll give you two more scriptures and then give you the plan. Ezekiel chapter 34. This is a message the Lord gave me the other night. I was fasting and praying down in Alabama, and I wrote down these thoughts. And I believe God wants us as a church to follow these instructions tonight. Ezekiel chapter 34. And look with me, if you will, at verse number 4. Ezekiel 34 and verse number 4. Look here. This, I hope and pray this wouldn't apply to me or you. My Lord, this applies to a lot of churches. The diseased have you not strengthened. Neither have you healed that which is sick. Neither have you bound up that which is broken. Neither have you brought again that which was driven away. Neither have you sought that which was lost. But with force and with cruelty have you ruled them. But I know a lot of independent Baptist churches, that verse you'd have thought it was wrote over their doorstep. Don't never seek the lost. Don't never help that one driven away. But with force and cruelty rule over God's people. I want to tell you something. I get criticized for this a lot. But if I have to make you do what you do, it ain't worth one dime. Amen? People say, well, that church, that preacher makes us go visit. I ain't knocking it. He can go however God leads him. But I want to tell you something. I don't want you to knock on somebody's door because I made you. I want you to knock on somebody's door because you don't want that pill. My Lord, man. People are going to hell if they don't get saved. You're not supposed to do it because you're scared of what the preacher will say. You're supposed to do it because them people's lost. Amen. Amen. That's a book, brother. With force and cruelty, they ruled them. I get criticized for that a lot. People say, Brother Danny, why don't you make them do this, make them do that? Because if you make somebody do something, it ain't no good. Try that. You can make a dog sit down, but you can't make him like it. You can't make him wag his tail. You can hem somebody up and put them in a fence, but you can't make them like it. God's got to do a work in your heart. You've got to realize that the world's lost without God and going to burn in hell if somebody don't reach them. And if that ain't your motive for witnessing, you got the wrong motive. Look at here. Verse 5. They were scattered because there's no shepherd. They became meat to the beasts of the field. Oh, my soul. And then he began to tell them what to do. He began to tell them how to, he's going to feed them and bless them and take care of them. I don't want time to go into all of that. Let's go back into the New Testament to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. Here we go, Matthew chapter 25. Now remember tonight, we're an army. We're going to organize as an army. And here's our battle plan tonight. Matthew chapter number 25. Most of you know this story here and this discourse that the Lord gave here before his tragedy or before his crucifixion. He's talking about when the Son of Man comes back at there at the judgment of the nations at the end of the tribulation, beginning of the millennial reign. And he has the right hand and the left hand, the sheep and the goats and all that kind of stuff. But there is a lesson here. There is a lesson here for me and you. He told them to come and inherit the kingdom, verse 34. Verse 35, for I was hungry, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Got that? If we're what we ought to be, we're not Jews in the tribulation trying to go into the millennial kingdom. But there's a moral application that every one of us ought to get that. Brother, if somebody's hungry, we ought to help them out. If somebody's thirsty, give them something to drink. If they're a stranger, we take them in. If they're naked, you clothe them. And look at verse 36. I was sick and ye visited me. Visiting the sick is something that's practiced all the way through the Word of God. Old Testament and New Testament. And I want to say tonight, and I believe this book will back me up, there is no scriptural excuse that anybody in this room has for not at some time or another visiting the sick. Not one scriptural reason. Brother, one of these days you're going to be in that hospital. One of these days I'm going to be in that hospital. And you get mighty old in with nobody walking in that door. And do you know who usually gets mad that nobody comes to visit them in the hospital when they get sick? It's the people that ain't never visited nobody. There is not one scriptural reason that you can give me tonight that justifies you not visiting the sick. Now, I don't mean just in the hospital. Somebody just had an operation. Come home. Well, I was too busy. I meant to get to see old so-and-so. Now, I know they've been in bed 5 months. You know what, brother? It'd do us a lot of good sometimes off what we're doing and go by and see so-and-so when they're sick. Visiting the sick is something that the book teaches, Old Testament and New Testament. You say, well, Brother Danny, that was before the cross. The book of James ain't before the cross. Let's turn to the book of James, chapter 1. James chapter 1. Sinning ain't always something you do. Sin is sometimes something you don't do. Amen? Alright, the book of James, chapter number 1. The book of James, chapter number 1. Look at verse 27. James chapter 1, verse 27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. Let it, church, to visit. See that? You see that? Is that in your Bible? You got a King James Version?
Yes, sir.
Look what the thing says. To visit the fatherless. Who's that? Orphans. Widows. People that their husbands have died. In their affliction. When people's having it rough. When people's having it rough. And dark trials and tragedies and a death in the family. Pure religion is to visit that person and to keep himself unspotted from the world. You can't get out of it. This church that I visited down there this week, I love to see a new church just bubbling with zeal on fire for God. I really do. Hallelujah. Now you know that you do it a few years. I mean, you remember back the first time we ever set a goal? I remember back on our first anniversary. Lord in mercy. We didn't even have a bus ministry then, but I said, we want to have 100. We was running up about 60 people. And I said, I believe we can have 100. And I believe didn't we have 98 or something like that, Luann? We thought. They said, we have 98. And I said, oh my soul. And then I said, well, let me go out there on the street. And I can find a dog or cat or something like that. And come to find out they had missed a couple of people. And we had 101 or something like that. Man, I was so excited. I said, glory to God. Woo! Hallelujah! Glory! Woo! 100 people walked in the door. Amen! You say, well, I heard an old preacher say it didn't matter how many was there. You tell him I said he's backslid as a devil.
Yeah.
Tell him I said so. And he can get this tape. A man that wouldn't rather have 100 than have 50 heart ain't right with God. You hear me tonight? Check out that book, brother. Check out that book. Or check, go in the highways and hedges and compound to come in, that my house may be what? Empty? Filled. He cares about people. The Lord cares about people. Well, I don't believe none important. Jesus did. That's why he died for all of them. I know people hate to hear that kind of talk, some people, because they start feeling guilty because you're afraid I'm going to put the pressure on you to do something you don't want to do. Now, I want to tell you tonight, I'm your friend by doing this. I never will forget, we had that time, we had Billy Kelly up there, and it was our third, it was like our fifth anniversary or something like that. The church was running at that time about 200, we was talking about it this evening. I got up and I said, folks, on the first Sunday in March, we're going to shoot for a goal of 400. Everybody said, that'll never happen. There ain't a church in this town has 400 people on Sunday morning to school. And I said, well, I believe we can do it. If we work hard and invite our kin. And I remember we were so excited. Man, you know, you look back on days like that, that was a lot of fun. That's the way this church is down there where I've been preaching this week. They ain't got a bus yet. They got a vision. They got a picture of us up on their wall with a bunch of little kids' heads smiling in it. That's their vision. Now I went over and beat it on the wall while I was preaching, and I told them about some of y'all. I used you for illustrations, and I told about our bus workers and how they give up their Sunday meals and breakfast and everything else, and I told them everything I know to tell them. I probably lied a little bit if the Lord let me, but I did. I said, get them sinners out of this byways and hedges and get them in here. And I told them how our bus ministry worked, and they got a vision and they're going to do it. But I remember that Sunday morning. You remember that day? Man, that was a great day. I'll never forget people come in. I was so excited. I got up that morning, my heart just a pounding. I come to church, glory to God. We'd had Brother Kelly ever since about Thursday night. I said, Brother Billy's going to be there. I could count him four or five probably if we come up short. And I said, Brother Kelly's going to be there. Everybody's going to be there. Woo! Boy, I love them exciting days like that. Man, there's just something that beats in the heart of a preacher that gets excited when people start just coming in them doors. Boy, it'll build a fire down your soul. And I tell you what, that morning, remember people kept coming in, people kept coming in. How many of you was there that morning? That morning. We had 450 that morning in Sunday school. You know what happened? Here come a bus in. It was Sister Lucy on her bus, that big old long white bus. She had 106 people on that bus. World record for McDowell County before or since at the everlasting amen. Son, that ought to go down in Wally B's books. 106, brother, on a bus. I never will forget Donnie McKinney come up the aisle up there. He had a big Bible underneath his arm. It was about 20 after 10. It was late. He come stomping up the aisle like that, and he said, glory to God! We're 106! I said, are you telling me the truth? He said, yeah, buddy, I mean people shouted. We had the awfulest time ever was. Now listen, brother, they wasn't, this building here wasn't even here then. We had 450 people up there in that one building, and no B Sunday school. A Sunday school only. And boy, I mean, Hypocrite. Them nails had ripped. Hawkins, I've had people come up and said, all right, preacher, this is a brand new dreadnought. Boo hoo, I'm so sorry. No, I didn't do that, but I tell you what, boy, we had time! But you know what? If you're not careful, you get to where, here you know we had 630 this morning. Did we shout? Hey man, if we'd had 630 back in them days, preaching school, 700, whatever it was for preaching this, wouldn't have been able to talk for 2 days. I'd have shouted so long. I'm just saying, if you're not careful, you'll take the blessings of God for granted. Somebody come to Jack Hiles one time, they said, Brother Hiles, do your people get excited when you break the record? He said, our people don't even know what the record is. That's about the way it gets, you know. And that's true. But you don't whip people to God because you want to break a record. I mean, we'll just do that little side issue. You get people to God because they're going to hell without God. That's the bottom line. That's what you just can't get through people's head. They're going to hell! They're going to burn! Scream for millions of years! That don't bother us. Say, we need to be in the altar. Need to be in the altar. Brother Gerald, he's got his senior citizen handicap ministry started now. Miss Gracie back there joined last Sunday morning. Our two wheelchair people here tonight. Brother Newton joined last Sunday morning. We've got two church members just out of that little ministry. We bought that little old bus, got that little old lift on it. And there's two people coming and join the church, and here they are back on Sunday night. We're going to give you a chance to get in that ministry. Brother Grady, is he here tonight? There he is, right here on the second row. Now, our oldest church member. Our oldest church member died last week. This week, another new oldest church member joined. I told him this morning, just think, if he hadn't joined, we wouldn't have an oldest church member. Ain't that a blessing? The Lord just sent us another. Take Broward's part. I believe this. I'm against abortion. I mean, who ain't? It's got any sense. I mean, Lord knows. I mean, they had somebody, some doctor up for murder here not long ago because an aborted baby lived. They aborted it and then it wound up living on the table. And they killed it, and they got him for murder. I mean, how dumb can you get? I mean, if it's a kid there, it's a kid here. And if it's wrong to kill it there on the table, it's wrong to kill it right there before it gets to the table. And it's either a kid or it ain't a kid. And a man, politicians say, well, I'm against abortion. Now listen to me, some of you ain't going to agree with this, but you think it through. A man told me, he said, I'm against abortion except for rape and incest. Now the truth is, now, you may not like this, but the truth is, if it's murder, it's murder. Rape or no rape. I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm not, if it's wrong to kill one baby, it's wrong to kill another baby. I mean, it's either right or it's wrong. Amen? You say, well, I think if a woman gets raped. No, wait a minute. That ain't the issue. The sex ain't the issue. The baby being a baby is the issue. So it's either right or it ain't right. I believe it ain't right. You say, well, you should a woman have to keep a baby that she's raped or anything? Listen, there's Christian couples standing in line begging for adopt a child, praying that God will give them a child. There's enough people to adopt every one of them. Amen? Now, some of you are going to have to stew on that a while because you've been brainwashed by the news media. What I said was right. It's either all right or it's all not right. Well, I'm against abortion. But Lord have mercy if some Christians would put as much energy into getting people saved and keeping them out of hell as they do fighting abortion, they'd be dangerous for God Almighty. I mean, all these people going out, listen, half these people going out, I'm not saying all of them, a lot of them are good Christians. Some of them carrying these signs and saying, I'll fight it, I'll go to the Supreme Court. Wouldn't even give out a gospel tract to a sinner and tell them how to get saved. I mean, if you can get people to do anything else, anything else people will do except get that sinner saved. And you know why? Because the devil don't care how much dust we kick up as long as we let people go to hell. He don't care. He couldn't care less how much we shout in here as long as we let that world go to hell. I seen a girl, listen to this teenagers, because I've got something coming for you in just a minute as I close. All teenagers, listen to me. Yesterday, I was in many different places yesterday. I was in Birmingham, Alabama. We left Childersburg, Alabama, went to Birmingham, Alabama. Yeah, I was in Birmingham, Alabama, coming in. We was driving down the road. We stopped at a red light. Teenagers, this is for you. This big four-lane road, like maybe six lane, three this way and three that way. Cars everywhere. right in the middle of the road, was a teenage girl. Here she was, standing out there. She had a thing like, something about like this right here. It was a stick and a great big sign on it. And she had on sunglasses and her hair pulled like this in a little ponytail because it's getting pretty warm. And she was standing out there like this. I mean, cars going by right here, cars going by right here, and the sign said, car wash. And all her friends were over there washing car. Here's a teenage girl standing out here on the street. Cars going on both sides of her. And she goes, woo! Woo! Come get your car washed! Hey! Come get your car washed! And I thought, I wonder if that girl would stand out there with a sign that said, Jesus saves.
There you go.
Would you girls, if we got a teenage girl here tonight that would stand on Main Street in Marion with a big sign about 2 hours this Saturday morning that says, Jesus saves? Raise your hand. I'm not going to. My mom will make you do that. Now the question is, why? You believe in Him, don't you? Do you believe in the Lord? Do you believe He saves? I mean, what is it about that? Why would that somebody do that for a car wash and not for Jesus? Have you ever noticed how when you mention doing something for the Lord, our flesh just goes, ugh. I'm like that. Mine does. I wouldn't want to stand up there on the street and hold a sign like that. I really wouldn't. I'm being honest with you. My flesh would squirm. But I'd do it. I've done it. And I'd do it again by the help of God. But there's something wrong when people, they're not ashamed of nothing else. But they're ashamed of the Lord. You say, surely goodness, you ain't going to make us do that, Brother Danny. We're going to do it in the Christmas parade like we did last year. Oh, you said there's 100 of us in. Well, I know it's easier when there's 100. I'd like to have about 400 in the parade this year. Wouldn't that be a blessing? If we all come down the street and had the band playing, you know, and I mean some real nice signs and good script witnesses and singing Christmas songs. Oh, that'd be a blessing. That'd be a blessing. Some of them don't think they want us to find out when the parade is. If anybody finds out, let me know. If it's that Sunday the camp meeting starts, please let me know. We're going to make plans already. 22nd. But you know something, teenagers? I got a plan for you. Records and goals and things like that are just little toys you play with. The issue is people are dying, lost without God. Bus workers are needed. Our church has always, since day one, been noted for having a slew, a gang, a mob, if you will, of young preachers who would charge hell with a water pistol, as the old saying goes. We've always been noted for that. Always. Now back in the early days when we first started, I personally was able to spend a lot of time with them. It's not like that anymore. But as I'm spread out all over creation. So that means you generation of preachers that are here are going to have that fire and something that I can't put in you. God has to put it in. I remember, man, there's the times gone by when they would just about embarrass me. I'd have to calm them down. I'd say, boys, go to Ruffton, go to Spruce Pine, go to somewhere. I mean, they preached man to death. I mean, hours on Saturday. I tell you, buddy, in these last days that we're living in, it's easy to let that vision slip and let other things take first place. Now, you young preachers are here tonight. Our plan that we're going to introduce for visitation here right now in just a second. There is absolutely no question about any preacher in here being in this at all. I mean, that's absolutely understood. I can't conceive of a preacher, a man saying, God's called me to preach and not be a part of His church's working program. You don't need to be preaching nowhere. You don't deserve to preach nowhere. Boy, that was the quietest it's been in here all night. That's the truth. I'd say amen for sitting down there. Amen. Buddy, I remember before I, you say, what'd you do? Before I started pastoring the church, but I'd go out and go on visitation with my pastor. I'd try to back up prayer meetings. I'd try to be there. And listen, God would never put you in a place of authority or leadership until you first get busy where He's put you. You're not going to graduate till you complete this course. Amen. I mean, you ought to be able to just cuss yums out and it not bother you a bit, because you can dish it out. You can dish it out, so you ought to be able to take it and it not bother you. You ought to just sit there and say, skin my eye, preacher. I like it like that. Make me get right. Put me on the altar. Put me in the will of God. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to help you. So of course, there's no doubt at all about whether you'll be a part of this. You will be a part of this. I mean, if you stand up and say, God's calling me to preach, Lord have mercy. I mean, who's trying to kid? If I'm going to introduce you to tonight, we're going to do two or three things. We had a lady, I get excited when people get saved. I didn't have an outline to preach tonight. You probably could tell that. I just jumped around. I'm going to read you something in closing here tonight. This lady that got saved here last Sunday morning, Brother Tony over there, his mother came down from New York with Danny Tucker, and she came to visit him. And she's been raised Catholic all her life, isn't that right, brother? And Danny had been witnessing to her, and they'd witnessed to her. Did y'all know she got saved last Sunday morning here?
Amen.
I mean, all these years they've wanted her to get saved. She got saved last Sunday morning here. And she had something like a sugar attacked her. What was that she had during Sunday school? She had an epilepsy attack, and they took her in the office, and it's kind of funny in a way, but here's what she said. They said, ma'am, do you want us to go ahead and take you home? And she said, no, I'm going to stay for Mass. That's what she said over in my office last Sunday. I said, let her stay for Mass. You know, I said, well, we had Mass at 11 o'clock. I bet that was the strangest Mass she'd ever been in. And she got saved, and 30 minutes later wrote this. 30 minutes later, they'd been witnessing to her, so she knew a little bit. Jesus, I need you. Come inside my heart. For this long lost drifter now needs a new, brand new start. For all my sins in the past, I'm asking forgiveness from you. And if I stumble a little now and then, your great love will see me through. How old is she, brother? 52 years old. Catholic all of her life. Got saved last Sunday morning. You put a price on that. I'll ask questions now and then on things I don't understand too well. Knowing once I find the answer I seek, I'll be with you and not down in hell. I'm thanking you, God the Father, for sending me your Son today. That was last Sunday morning. In my way now, I'll start loving you. I'm glad you helped me reach the shore today. Boy, that gets in your blood. You start seeing people get saved, you ain't satisfied with three songs, a 20-minute message, two verses of an invitation, and go home. Oh, that just won't do. That won't satisfy you anymore. Just won't satisfy you. I'm trying to take away your excuses. You say, I work second shift. We got a plan for you. You say, I'm busy on Thursdays. It never works out. We have a plan for you. Just like Amway, man. I mean, I got something for you. Now, you say, well, Brother Danny, I'd rather not be a part of no visitation because I just like to do my own visiting on my own time. Now, we have a plan for you. That's all right, but you ought to do both. And the reason you ought to do both is because we double track each other all the time. See, if you just go out here on your own and visit, I mean, there's a lot of people in this church. If you go out here on your own and visit somebody might be right on your tracks visiting the same person that's been sick or something like that. But see, if we all have a group and we know where each other's going, we get a whole lot more done that way. Anybody knows you got a 2,000 acres of corn to harvest, you're better off to get together and say, now, hey, you take that side, we'll this side, you take that side, we'll take... That just makes sense. You don't just go all running off and say, harvest it. I'm going to wind up laying on sleep somewhere in the ditch. Okay? Now, for you people that don't feel comfortable, and I know there's a lot of people that do not feel comfortable just knocking on somebody's door. We've got a visitation for you that are leaves, like people that are backslid, people that used to come to church, people that you know, where you can visit them. We're going to send leaves to rest homes, to shut-ins, to places like that, so ladies won't have to be out just what they call cold turkey. Now, our other group, the preacher boys and the frontline combat boys, will do the cold turkey, just not on them. They got to learn how to do that. If you're ever going to pastor a church, you got to learn how to knock on somebody's door and talk to them about the Lord. You'll never amount to nothing if you don't learn how to do that. And then we got the bus ministry. And this ministry, the what we call the highways and hedges, will feed all these other ministries. Okay? Here we go. The results, I'll tell you in just a second. We're going to have seven groups. The first group is called Our Lady Soul Winning Rest Home and Shut-In. Its president will be Mrs. Lloyd Gardner. Where are you at, Miss Lloyd? She is so faithful visiting. Over there she visits Thursday morning, Thursday night, and no telling when else, all the time. All the time. So Miss Lloyd has agreed to take the women, divide them up in groups, and here's what you can do. And then you say, well, Brother Daniel, I have to work. Sometimes I have to do things on Thursday. This ain't Thursday morning or Thursday night. This is your own time whenever you want to. You will have two visits, and you'll have 2 weeks to make those two visits. 2 weeks. You can make them both one evening. Something comes up one week, get them the next. That's the plan. Okay? Now, they're going to visit shut-ins. I remember the old lady we used to visit down here. Or just, maybe a lot of times there's a lady that comes to our church, maybe lives by herself, maybe with some kids. Men, it doesn't feel comfortable for a man to go and visit them. The ladies could go and witness that lady, win her to the Lord Jesus. And we have all spread out all over these 6 or 7 rest homes in McDowell County, get them divided up. Listen, a church this size, we could keep every rest home in McDowell County visited on a regular basis and do what the Lord said there in Matthew. Amen. I was sick and you visited me. I believe the Bible. That's the ladies' soul winning. You can be a part of that. Number 2 would be the what we call the harvesters and reapers. Harvesters and reapers. Now, what this is referred visits. Let's say a couple visits here 2 or 3 Sunday mornings. Let's say his name is John Doe. Her name is, guess. Jane Doe. Very good. John Doe and Jane Doe, Sunday morning. They come 2 Sunday mornings in a row. They fill out a visitor's card. They drop the visitor's card in the offering plate. That gets wound up through the secretary, through the associate pastor. Somehow it winds up on somebody's desk. Boy, that'd be a good visit. Now let's just say that Greg there, Brother Kim there, was a harvester and a reaper. And the harvester's one group, reaper's another group. Let's say they say, well, we want to visit. Is there somebody for us to visit? They'll be handed that card. Go visit John and Jane. They already know where they live. They already know what their name is. See, a lot of people just say, man, I just can't go up and knock on somebody's door and I don't know who they are. I just can't do that. But they said, if I know who they are and I know, hey, you're John, ain't you? Yeah, you're Jane. Yeah, I thought you was Jane. Well, we've been coming to church a little bit lately, ain't you? My name's so-and-so, yeah, I saw you over there now. I recognize you. And we just thought we'd visit with you. See, that's what the harvesters and reapers are. Now, you will have 2 visits and 2 weeks to make those 2 visits. Now, let me say something as your pastor, because I love you. The time is right for us to do this. The time is right. We've come through surgery. God's blessed us. God's took care. The time has come for us to quit dangling our feet and get on the ball. Listen, you can't keep just sitting there whining, blaming all the problems we've had for you not doing nothing forever.
Yes, sir.
Let me repeat that. You can't just keep sitting there blaming all the problems that I've had, our church has had, for you not doing nothing for God forever. There does come a time when you finally say, I'm fire it. I'm going to live for God and do something for God.
Amen.
You just sit there forever and ever and do nothing. Okay? Anybody, listen to this statement, anybody that can't make two visits in 2 weeks needs some readjusting in their life. President Bush can make 2 visits in 2 weeks. Pretty soon he's probably got a lot of time to go visiting. I hope not, but that's the way it looks. And I hope it don't happen that way. But anybody here can make 2 visits in 2 weeks. You make 2 visits in 1 evening, in an hour and a half. You say, hey, Bill, we got 2 weeks to make these visits. When are we going to do them? Well, what about Tuesday? No, I'm going to go play a little bit of golf. Well, what about Thursday? Well, I'm going to go to that revival out here on the other side of town. Well, I'm about Friday. Okay, I'll meet you here Friday night. You see how easy that is? You can work in time to do it at your own time. And then we'll have meetings, 15 minutes before service on Sunday night, every other Sunday night. Come back, turn them in, get new visits, and go right back out. All right? The next group, number 5, I believe it is. Or 4, if I can find it, is our Highways and Hedges. The Highways and Hedges ministry is door to door. This is the hard stuff. This is where we're going to take boys and just men and just assign them a street. And say, so you got Maple Avenue. You got Park Avenue. You got this half of East Court. You got that part of West Court. Until we knock on every door on that street. And then we come. We used to do that, and it was so much fun. Man, it's fun. You'd be surprised. You hardly ever get a door slammed in your face. Very, very, very. That's what people say. The devil, they'll slam a door in your face. There won't be 1 out of 500 slam their door in your face. And it don't hurt. I mean, unless it hits you, don't stand that close. Stand back here a little bit. You say, what about dogs? Carry you some mace. Or a big rock. What I do, so I pull up in somebody's yard and they have a great big dog come out. I roll down the window about that far. I say, boy, he comes over here. I've seen some of them could stick their head right there in my window. And I just barely stick my finger out and touch him on the nose like that. If he wags his tail, you can get out. He goes, you might ought to pray about coming back the next day or two. That's right. Highways and Hedges. Now, the Highways and Hedges is the most important ministry because it feeds all the other ministries. In other words, the harvesters and some of the bus workers and reapers and the lady visitors won't know where the old folks are if the Highways and Hedges fellows don't find them out, right around, hey, I found a dear old man, like Brother Grady over there. Boys found him on bus route, 81 years old, found him on bus route, brought him to church, there he sits. You might go by, boy, I found a 75-year-old man. All you got to do, turn that card in, the fellow who's over there gives it to Brother Gerald. So Gerald knows right where the 75-year-old man is, goes and has a cottage prayer meeting in his home, tries to get him saved, tries to keep him out of hell. I don't know, preacher. I believe we can get forgiveness, though, don't you? Highways and Hedges. And then the next one, the sixth one, is the teenage soul winning. Teenagers, this is for you. Just because you're a teenager. You say, I'm going to start going visiting when I get old like you, preacher. They make fun of me, my gray hair sticking out here and there. Barber cut my hair down. I about smacked him. He said, I was a grand, Danny. You want me to get it? I said, yeah, I get it. He said, them don't comb like the rest of them. They get stiff. I said, well, get it. Anyway, teen visitation. The teen visitation is every other Saturday night, 2 Saturday nights a month. Now, I have heading this up, Brother Ken Young, who's now having to work on Saturday night, but we'll be praying he'll get fired soon. Now the Lord will supply. And Sister Rowena Jant has so graciously agreed to work with a teenage girl two Saturday nights a month for her and Miss Brooke. And they're going to be working with them. Wouldn't it be a blessing for about 15 or 20 teenagers to meet up here on Saturday night, take a bunch of them girls to some of these rest homes, let them see what life's really all about. Let them be a blessing. Take them, let them give out tracts out here at Hardee's. Tell them to be a blessing. Go to visit. They could go visit other young people. That's teenage soul winning. Every other Saturday night. And then finally, the big one, number 7, is the bus ministry. The bus ministry. My soul, what a work, buddy. I tell you, what a work. I want you fellas to start passing these out right now. I want you to tear these apart and then pass them out one at a time. And just pass them all over the church. And tear these apart. We've never done this before, but I believe it's time to do it. Let me keep this one right here and tear them all apart. Pass them out one at a time. Not all of that one section. All these people over here. Now, if you'd like to be a part of this, there's no pressure. There's no, somebody going to bless you out. You know, this is just an organized plan for us to reach McDowell County for the glory of God. If you'd like to be a part of it, when that paper passes you, sign and put your phone number down on which ministry you'd like to be a part of. I've got it down on there where you could work a bus ministry one Saturday a month. We need some ladies that would just give up a few hours one Saturday a month to work in the bus ministry. A lot of our bus workers have to go out on Saturday by themselves, and that's not good. And I mean, like yesterday, I think my wife visited, 70? 70-something homes. 40 houses. That's rough to do by yourself. But one of the young ladies went with her. But sometimes a lot of them have nobody to go with them. One Saturday a month, you say, I'd be willing to do that. We need a lady. We need about two ladies that would be willing to say, I'll babysit. Like up here on Saturday night for the teenage girls or for some of the bus workers. Say, hey, Brother Danny, I'd be glad to help out, but I don't have nobody to help keep my kids. Now listen, I've got kids. I've got three kids. You just work around stuff like that. You just work around. If you have an obstacle, do something and go on over it. We can't let the world go to hell just because we've all had kids. Amen? You don't let the world go to hell because you finally found your mate and got married, people. I mean, people are still lost. People are still going to hell. People are still lost without God. And the future of our church here too might largely depend on how we accept what I'm saying here tonight. I'm serious as I can be. I believe God wants us to do this. And I believe it will be one of the greatest things we've ever been involved in. So we're passing them around. If you'd like one of them specifically, I've got a few more here, fellas. Pass these out. I think I'm missing a paper two there. But after the service is over, you get your name on one of them lists. Get your name on one of them lists. Now, if you just say, I don't want to do it, I ain't going to visit nobody, just let it pass you on by. I mean, I don't know what it's going to take. I don't know if you're going to have to wind up losing. I mean, I don't know what God will have to do to beat some sense into you. But I tell you what, buddy, as good as God's been to most of you, the least you could do is make two visits a month. I mean, half a month. Lord have mercy. That's the least anybody could do. Listen, if you're supposed to set an example, if you're a Sunday school teacher, if you're a special worker, you ought to be on the top of the list. You ought to be on the top of the list. I ain't going to make you, but you ought to be on the top of the list because people are watching your life. Amen. That's right. All right, we'll pass them around, and I'm gonna remember the song we used to sing. Souls are dying, men are crying,
You let the paper pass you and say, hey, I don't want to do that. I ain't going to visit nobody. I don't care what him or anybody. Well, the next time we sing I Love to Tell a Story, you better close your songbook and put it in the back of the seat because you're lying. If you don't love to tell a story, don't sing I Love a Story. You say, I quit church. When'd you start? You ain't got nothing but God. You ain't never got started. Don't ever sing keep on the firing line if you won't touch the firing line with a 10-foot pole. Amen. Now what we can do is have best friend team. That's what we're going to do. Have best friend. Let's say me and Brother Dale here's best friends. And you know what me and him can do? Say Eastside's going to have revival this week. Me and him meet at 5:30, make our two visits, and go to revival at night. 2 weeks worth right there. Husband and wife. This would be a great way for husbands and wives to spend one evening together. Visit somebody else in the church. Man, that's great. That's fellowship. That's a good time, Lord. And that, you don't know what that might do for your marriage problems. Just have a husband and wife going together. Hey, honey, why don't me and you get in on that? Why don't me and you make a couple of visits every week just together? Go to the hospital or something like that. See people that's sick. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. I know a church, well, I know all the church. It's talking about down there in Alabama that got on fire for God and people started winning souls. There've been people in church that hadn't won nobody the Lord in 30 years. And all of a sudden had won something like 25 or 30 people the Lord in the past year. They just got on fire. They just got on fire. All right, Brother John, you come while they're passing that around. Kath, come. We'll not have an invitation tonight. We're going to get these papers up and go over them through this week. I'd like to meet with all those people that I named off a while ago. Brother Gerald, Brother Ken, Miss Jant, Miss Brooke, all of them, Wednesday night, if we could, have just a little short, quick meeting at the very beginning, before the service, Wednesday night, if y'all could come 5-10 minutes early. Wednesday evening, we'll have a little quick meeting to divide these groups up. Amen. Hallelujah.